Would you turn and open your Bibles to the book of Matthew, the sixth chapter, and we're gonna go to the 24th verse, a verse that you know we all know. Whether you're believing the way we believe now concerning giving, or you believe the old way, the prosperity way, this is a verse that we're very familiar with. And basically, where are we here? 24th. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Now, when I would read that scripture, for me, you know how sometimes you have an image in your head and you don't intentionally put that image there, it's just there. And so I had an image of kind of a stern, almost angry God, kind of looking down on me, kind of, don't do that. And if you do, that is sin. That is sin. Like, don't do that. Like, and it was an imperative and a command, don't serve mammon. And that was the way I received it. That's the way I lived according to that interpretation. And so, you know, for me, it was a scary thing to serve mammon. And, you know, we know that there can be more than one way to serve mammon. One way could be if God would speak to us and say, I want you to do something. And we'd say, okay, Lord, I want to do it, but hold on a second. And then you kind of come over and say, mammon, can I do this? You know, you check the bank account, you check the wallet. And it's not even necessarily expensive things. It could be little things. I mean, if you know what it's like to be short on money, and God says, I want you to invite someone over for a meal, and you think, am I going to be able to feed them? Oh, I need to invite this person over. Okay, hold on, Lord. Can I afford to buy $15 worth of groceries to feed them? You know, if we're always going to be second-guessing God by checking first with mammon, that's one way we serve mammon over God. But the Lord really began to change my thinking and my understanding of it in terms of, you know, it's a sin, in terms of He changed my view of it. Instead of seeing God as angry at me or upset with me, one day He came and put His arm around me and said, you know, Alain, you can't serve me and mammon at the same time. You just can't. It was more of a loving father. Very different perspective. So, here's how I served mammon instead of God. As I've shared, you know, I 7.5 years ago, going on 8 years, we started a church in a different city. We moved away from everything that we had and knew and understood, moved away from friends and support systems, and we moved to a different city, and thank God, Mike O'Brien and Donna O'Brien were there. They were our anchor. You know, you ever seen a tug of war? And you got the anchor guy who holds everything, keeps it from going. They were our anchor. They kept us safe. Whenever we thought, oh my goodness, what are we doing? You know, they were there to, you know, you're good, you're okay. Every once in a while, you know, Mike would come along and put his arm around me and pull me up short. What are you doing? You know, I'm smarting up or whatever. And we needed that. We really did. We were kids and thank God for people who are older in the Lord who are willing to come alongside us, right? But one of the things that had happened is I had to leave a job because the job was 400 kilometers away. It was a four-hour drive to get there. It was just not going to be realistic to keep working there. And I had a good job. I worked for the government, good pay, good benefits. If I were still there today, I'd have 7 weeks holiday per year. Can you imagine? 7 weeks paid holiday. Anyways, the perks were great. And so, you know, all right, Lord, I want to do whatever you tell me, but how are we going to live? You know, some of the things that I've heard Gary say, you know, I've said that. I understand that. You know, I have a mortgage. And you know, one of the big things has always been we have little girls. You know, I don't want them to be in lack. You know, my youngest, I think she grew like 3 inches since Christmas. I don't want her going to school with pants that, you know, end at her mid-calf or something. You know, I want them to be met or their needs being met and so forth. So, Lord, what am I going to do? You know, how are we going to be supported? What are we going to do over there? And what I actually did, I mean, I worked 10 years in the government, and I applied for the same job in the city we were moving to. It would have been just like a lateral move. Okay. And they have this ridiculous hiring practice in the government. I don't know if it's the same here, but, you know, tests and a bunch of interviews and this and that. And so I finally get to the final interview. I, you know, succeeded in all the other steps, and I interview with them. And I walked out of the interview, and I knew in my heart I wasn't going to get the job, even though there was no training necessary. And I'm kind of like the kind of employee nobody ever wants to lose, and I'm not just boasting. I'm just saying I'm the guy who who works for your profit, for your success. I work for your vision, not just my own, so to speak. So I'm leaving the government, and they literally cried when I left. It was kind of uncomfortable for me. But it was. Anyways. Lord, you're saying I'm not going to get this job. And really, the Lord spoke to my heart. He said, I don't want you working. You don't? Yeah, but we're starting a church. It means there's no one there. How are we going to live? And so the Lord really got it across to me, and you know, I'll always be your provider, I'll always be there for you, and you need to just trust me. And he brought me back to when I was 10 years old, and we were taking swimming lessons with the school. We'd get on a bus and go to the pool, we'd take lessons and go back and so forth. And it was 10 lessons, so 10 weeks, and at some point during those 10 weeks, we had to go up what seemed to me like the tallest diving board in the world. I mean, to me, I'd look up and, oh my gosh, I mean, I think you're in the clouds up there. And I was scared, and I didn't want to go up there. Just the ladder itself was scary. But we had, you know, in order to pass, we had to just jump off of that thing. Didn't have to dive or do anything special, just jump off. Well, it came to the point where it was the final lesson, and the teacher came up to me and said, Alain, you're the last person who hasn't jumped off. You need to jump off. I'm not doing it. Well, you're going to fail the class. I said, okay, I'm going to fail the class. Well, now we had free time. We could just play in the water, and I can't believe I didn't jump. So I climbed up the ladder, and I ran off and jumped, and on the way down, I was like, wow, this is fun. Sploosh. So, you know, I swam out and climbed up, and I jumped out a million times and whatever. But guess what? It was too late. I had already failed the class. So the Lord said to me, Alain, here's an opportunity for you to obey me, but if you don't obey me, it doesn't matter if you do it 10 years from now, it'll be too late. Oh my gosh. All right. So I did it. I quit the job, and we just went and did that. Well, do you know that after a short span of time, about 6 or 7 months, all our money had run out, and the pressure was starting to increase. So I went and got a job. And it was a good job. And I worked there for almost 2.5 years. I was actually working with Mike and Donna. They had a print shop along with their son Josh and his wife Amanda, and I worked with them for a while, and then the ministry had gotten to the point where, okay, I think, you know, I can leave this, and I know that God doesn't want me working anyway, so I think I can leave this job and I'll just go into the ministry. And guess what? You know, we were okay for a while, but then the money dried up again. And it wasn't too long before I started looking for another opportunity, and I went and started driving a school bus. And it was okay, but you know, it caused some issues. Because, you know, you're up really early, and then you go and you do your run, and then you go home and you're doing whatever you're supposed to be doing in the gospel and working for the Lord, and then all of a sudden you got to drop everything and run back and get on the bus and do your run. And so, okay, you know, I did that for a while, and I really shouldn't be doing this. So I let it go. I went back just to the ministry, and the ministry was doing okay, and then all of a sudden, you know, okay, there's no money again. And I developed in myself an attitude, which was, you know, you said you'd meet my needs, but you're not doing it. And if you're not going to do it, then I have to do it myself. And it was a kind of a rebellious, hard attitude. It really was. And at its core, really was unbelief. So this time I went back to work, and it seemed like it was going to be a great job. And I shared with you, it was FedEx. You know, I love driving, and I was going to be alone in a truck so I can pray in the Spirit. I thought I'll be able to listen to teachings, but you're in and out of that truck every 2 seconds, you know, who knows what they're talking about now? Everything's out of context because you're running. I had a pedometer. In a day, I'd do 17,000, 18,000 steps in a day. I lost 25 pounds. Can you tell that I don't need to lose 25 pounds? It became the world's worst job for me. I was up at 4:30 in the morning, out the door at 5:15, at my truck at 6:30-ish, sorting everything out. I'd work, you know, it should be an 8-hour day, but it was a 14-hour day, 16-hour day, because that's just how much work we had to do. I'd get home between 8:30 and 9:30 at night. My kids were on their way off to bed, you know, and even if, you know, Jamie and I have a little bit of time together, I'd fall asleep in her face. She'd be talking to me, and while she's talking to me, I'm falling asleep. And I'd have to be in bed by 10 because the next morning I'm up at 4:30 again. And what ended up happening is I was at church Sunday morning only. You know what happened? I'm supposed to be a pastor, and I'm completely disconnected from the sheep, completely disconnected from what the Lord is doing. I'm spending virtually zero time in the Word. I'm great. I'm spending a lot of time in personal worship, and God really used that. I'm spending a lot of time in tongues. But we all know that if you neglect the Word, you're going to be in trouble before long. And I wasn't intentionally neglecting the Word. It just was what it was. And so here I was. I'm toiling at FedEx, and I've completely left the call that God had in my life. And so one day the Lord came, and there he is, like a father, putting his arm around me. He says, you know, you can't serve two masters. You'll either serve the one or the other. And the picture he gave me was of two fields. And one field was his field, and for the purposes of the call on my life, that field was Freedom Family Church. And that field was the time I would spend in the Word, the time I would spend in study, the time I would spend meeting with people and ministering to people. That was that field. The other field was the field of mammon, and for the purposes of my life, it was FedEx. I'm limited by time and space. I cannot be in both fields at the same time. So here I was, working for FedEx, working in this other field, serving mammon. Alain, you can't do both. This is where verse 25 comes in. You can't do both, Alain. You can't be in two places at once. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? And behold, he goes on and he explains about, you know, the birds and the flowers in the field and so on. And then we come to verse 31. Therefore, again, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal we shall be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So it really comes down to this. You can't do both. And I know, Alain, that you can't. I know that you physically cannot be in two places at once. Therefore, don't worry about the needs. And really, it's specific to each and every one of us. I mean, honestly, if you should be at work and you decide, well, I'd rather be in prayer, and you leave your job, well, then there's a reason why you're not going to have a provision. I mean, we need to be obedient to the Lord. But whatever it is that we're doing, let's say you're working, you have a great job, and, oh, wait a minute, you know, I need to buy a new car, and I could get the mid-level car, but I'd really like to get the top-level car, so I'm going to take some extra shifts. Well, if you're leaving the field that God has given you to work to go and make extra money to get the top-level car, there's a problem there. There really is. So, you know, great, work. Do what God has put before you, but make sure that you're also toiling in the field that he's given you and that you're not leaving it to go after all these other things. Now, I'm not judging whether or not you should or shouldn't have the mid-level or the high-level or whatever. I mean, that's between you and God. And I really think that there are some people that God is going to give the top-level car to. Hi, hooray. Hallelujah. You're going to drive a Lexus Camel, as they say. Good for you. But if you're getting that Lexus Camel because you're leaving his field to get it, that's where the problem is. Alain, you can't serve both. Just trust me. You take care of doing what I put before you to do, and I'll take care of the rest. Amen. Well, whoever is serving this morning in capacity of taking up the offering, if you'll come up. The end of the story for me was I eventually had to conclude that I couldn't continue at FedEx, and so I did leave FedEx. And it's not that any circumstance had changed. I mean, we were just as bad off as we were when I first went to FedEx. The interesting thing is, on paper, I made good money with FedEx. I really did. I mean, when you work that much, you're going to earn, right? On paper, we should have had more than our needs, but in reality, it didn't work out that way. We still ended up short all the time. Anyways, Father, we love you so much. And Lord, we thank you that you are always faithful to us. Lord, I thank you that even your word declares that even if we believe you not, you always abide faithful, for you cannot deny yourself. Lord, you have declared yourself to be Jehovah Jireh, our God who provides for us. And whether we believe you not, you will always be our God who provides for us. Lord, this morning I pray and I ask that you would just continue to establish deep in the heart of us this belief and this understanding and this consciousness of your provision for us. Lord, in that way we will be obedient to you to keep our hands to the plow that you've called us to push. We give you all the glory, Jesus. Amen.